for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Sunday morning service of January the 1st, 1989, tape number 22 of the Midwinter Family Camp Meeting, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn Miller is the teacher for the morning.
Class that we hold, and our teacher is Mary Dye, and she teaches from her heart. She's been a teacher all of her life and still is. And in the summertime, summer camp, why, she has a lesson for all the young people each morning in their class. We didn't really have enough here to have a class every morning of the young ones this week. And Mary was gone about the first half of the week down visiting the relatives. Sunday morning, why, we're her students, and she teaches us for a little while.
I want to tell you something that happened on our trip that is really great to me. We always pray before we start out anywhere, and that Thursday morning before we left home, we prayed and asked the Lord to watch over us and keep us on our way. And he did. We had a wonderful trip. And we made it in 9 hours. That we thought was good time. We didn't rush. We didn't exceed the speed limit, but we ran at a normal rate of speed and got to our destination in 9 hours. Then, when we got ready to come home, all of us gathered and we had prayer again and asked the Lord again to watch over us and keep us, and we expected him to. But it didn't turn out like we expected. We thought we'd have a nice trip like we did going down. But I'm telling you, the weather got bad. And the wind blew, and it rained, and the wind blew, and it rained, and we could hardly see anything. And Tom had to drive very carefully and very slowly. And we came the same route that we went. We prayed as we came, all because it was dangerous. We asked the Lord to protect us, which he did. When we got home, we had made that trip in 8 hours. Now, you tell me how. And when we got home and Tom turned on the television, right where we had been traveling, there was a tornado alert. And the Lord carried us just in front of that all the way home. I said something to a lady about it over there the other day, and she said, "You came home in the spirit." Well, we sure must have, because his eye was over us. And there's nothing impossible with God. We sing that song, but sometimes we have to have the experience before we can really and truly get it in our hearts that it's true. But it is. Thank God. Well, we've been hearing all week about the goodies that God has for us, for the wonderful things that are in store for those who serve him and who are planning to be a part of that kingdom that he is to establish and that he is establishing. And I'm thankful for it. And my message or lesson this morning is more in the form of a warning. Now, God never warns us of anything that he doesn't give us a way out. And so, also in the warning that I have for you, there is a way out. Now, my thoughts and my ideas and my ways of expressing myself are more directed toward the young people. But what I have to say this morning can be a good lesson to the oldest person here. I may be that oldest person, but it's a good lesson to me, too. Mark Jordan was a good little boy. He enjoyed going to Sunday school. He enjoyed the little cutouts and the little pictures and the crayons and things that they worked with in the primary class. He could hardly wait until Sunday came so that they could go to Sunday school. Then when he got up to be a little older in the junior class, he enjoyed the lessons there, too. And he began learning Bible verses, longer Bible verses than the ones that he learned before. He liked to hear the stories that his Sunday school teacher told him, the stories that were good lessons from the Bible. But by the time he was about 10 years old, he met some other boys. That's what school's good for sometimes. And if you're out of school, your business associates can be the same thing. And these boys were in his same grade at school, and they hadn't been brought up in Sunday school and church. And they used words that Mark wasn't used to. But, you know, it was easy. He learned how to pronounce them, and it was easy for him to say them. At first, it kind of, you know, if you do something first time, if you know you're not supposed to, how it makes you feel. And that's how he felt at first, but it got to where it was old thing, and he didn't mind using those words at all. Those boys were what you might call daredevils. They were just kids, but they'd make bets among them that who could be the last one into the room before the tardy bell rang, or who'd be the one that wouldn't get his paper in on time, and different things like that. And Mark began associating with them. He liked that kind of daredevil, adventuresome spirit that they had. He really liked that. And then he began doing things on the sly that his mother and daddy didn't know about. They didn't know he was using ugly words. They didn't know he was associating with these boys that were questionable. He was smart in that way. He didn't want them to know it. But the time came when he got rebellious. He didn't want to go to Sunday school. And they had to make him go to Sunday school. By the time he was 12 or 14, he was a real character. And the parents talked with him. They prayed with him. They advised him. But it didn't seem to do much good. But they kept praying for him. But he kept going with those guys. Not only them, but with a group, a gang. They began dabbling in. First thing, they took some beer to see how it tasted. And they'd dare each other to drink some more, and see how much. And then they got into smoking. And it went on into drugs. And they had to steal, of course, to have money to get what they needed. But he just kept on. He's still at home. He kept on doing things and having his own way. But by the time he was 15, Mom and Dad couldn't do any more with him. But before that, when he was about 13 years old, he felt the Lord calling him. He felt the Lord calling him, but he turned the Lord down for his friends. So plainly, folks he thought were friends. He knew he'd lose them if he turned his life over to the Lord. And so he chose them instead of the Lord. And from that time on, Frank's life went from bad to worse. He was in and out of group homes, juvenile camps, jail, on up until the time he was old enough to be sent to prison. And his first prison sentence was for 9 years. But poor Mark hadn't learned a thing, seemingly, from the experiences that he'd had. And he made life in prison even worse than it was on account of his stubborn willfulness. He was so violent that nobody could talk to him. And he was sent to a maximum security because of his hostility. He was so oppressed and so depressed that people were afraid of him. And the guards put him in a cell where there wasn't anything but a mattress. He didn't have on any clothes. He didn't have any water. He didn't have anything. He was just in there with that mattress. Well, for one time in his life, he looked at himself and he said, "I've reached the end of my rope." It's a pity, but what he'd have thought of that a long time ago. But he says, "I've reached the end of my rope. There's nothing else for me to do but to take my own life." And he began thinking, how in the world could he do it there in that cell where there wasn't anything? But all night, he lay there on that old mattress, no clothes on, thinking what he would do. The next morning, he began tearing strips off of that mattress, tying them together. And after he'd got a few tied together, he put them around his neck to see if they'd be strong enough to hold him. He was contemplating suicide that very day. But as he looked around, something he hadn't seen before, there was something over in the corner of that room on the floor. Well, it caught his attention, and he went over there, and he picked it up. It was a book, and it was a Bible. Do you think Mom and Daddy's prayers veiled anything? God had something else in store for Frank, for Mark. Mark began turning through that Bible. He remembered some of the stories that his teacher had told him. He began reading the stories of Daniel and the Hebrew children and of Gideon. He began thinking about the time when he was young, when his heart was tender. And he also read about God's love for him and for his promise of salvation to anyone that would believe. And for the peace and the protection that God provided in times of trouble. Well, if anybody was ever in trouble, Mark was, he said. And so he read on. And the more he read, the more he realized what a fool he had made of himself and of his life and of the sorrow that he had caused. And he began calling on God. He began asking God to forgive him. He began repenting, praying tears of sorrow and pain coming from his eyes. And the time came when he felt released from that. He felt the joys of the Lord come into his soul, and he didn't tie any more of the mattress together. He just read the Bible. Now, this lesson that I'm telling you is happening right now because Mark's still in prison. When you do wrong, you're going to have to pay for it. Mark's still in prison, but he's a model prison. He loves the Lord, and he spends his time singing praises to the Lord and talking to the other fellows who are in prison, telling them of the love of God and showing them of the things that God can do and will do and has done, and telling them of a way out for their sorrows and their trials. And he says that if it took all of this to bring me to my senses, it's worth it. People, sometimes God has to use pretty stern means to wake us up. Mom and Daddy couldn't understand, but they never did give up. And Mark still has lots to be thankful for, even though he's still serving his term in prison. Even though he wasted his youth, even though his health is impaired, even though he has still some more prison term to serve, even though of all the grief that he caused his mama and daddy, if it took that to bring him to his knees and to repentance before God, it's worth it. He found the way out. Now, I'm not going to try to sermonize on what I've said to you. I'm going to let each one of you decide for yourselves what this lesson means to you. But I am going to talk to these young people that are here for just a second. Boys and girls, you see what happened to Mark because he rejected God. It's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Don't turn him down when he calls you. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus was talking to the church, the Laodicean church, and he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Did you know your heart had a door? He says, "I stand at the door and knock." He says, if you'll open the door and hear my voice, if you'll hear my voice and open the door, says, I'll come in and sup with you and you with me. But boys and girls, I want to tell you something. He's not going to stand there forever knocking at your door wanting in. He'll come and knock at your door when you go to see somebody and you knock at the door and you hear them in there and you know they're in there and they don't come and let you in. Are you going to just still stand there and knock at that door all day? No, you're not. Well, God's patience wears out sometimes too. He's not going to stand and knock always. So when he comes to you, boys and girls, let him in. And cherish him. He is a lover that nothing else can compare with. He does things for you. I just a while ago told you what he did for Tom and me on that way home. He'll help you with your lessons. He'll help you choose your right friends. You won't have to choose boys and girls that lead you off into the ways of sin and degradation. He'll help you choose the ones that will help you to be a Christian. You can help them to be a Christian. He'll help you to be kind in your home. Now, I know from experience, I don't believe there ever was a boy or girl that grew up that didn't have just a little rebellion in their home against their mom and daddy. There's a time comes when you think mom and daddy don't know. Now, boys and girls, if you'll keep your minds on the Lord, you may not approve of what mom and daddy does, but the Bible tells you to mind them, and you mind them and do what they say. And the Lord will bless you for it. I know that from experience, too. He'll help you find a mate when you get old enough. You don't have to marry a sinner. The Bible says a house divided against itself cannot stand. Now, a boy marry a sinner girl, or a girl marry a sinner boy, and you've got trouble to start with. You haven't even got God on your side when you do that, because you've gone beyond His protection. He'll help you find the kind of work you need. He is all you need if you ask Him to do. Keep your heart open for Him. And I pray God to keep every one of you in the hollow of His hand as the apple of His eye. God bless you.
Thank you, Mary and Tom. Father, we thank you again today for the lesson that Mary has given to us. We thank you, Lord, to give us understanding of it, to apply it to our hearts, and especially the young people. And then, Father, as I bring the word this morning, open our hearts, Lord, to understand that, and then to apply it to ourselves individually, Lord, that we may be that which you can make out of us in this year that lies ahead. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. You know, in this year of 1989, the Lord is looking, as He always has been, He's looking for a people of dedication. He's looking for people who will take the word and apply it to their hearts and lives, and then be faithful in that which they see, which they understand, and which they're taught. And He's looking for people to be faithful. He's not looking for people who say they will be faithful. He's looking for people who are faithful. We can always say that we will, but it's not what we will, it's what we do. And I want to be one who does. I want to be one who's faithful. There are many times when situations happen, things do, that I probably could have done them a lot different. But I want to be faithful to do it to the best of my ability. And when I find that I've done it wrong, I want to change and correct it and do what is right. And I pray that that will be the same for every one of us, that we will desire to be faithful, to be a faithful servant. Let's look over in the sixth chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 6, verse 5. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Now, what did they choose Stephen for? They chose a man that was faithful and a man that was full of the Holy Ghost. But what did they choose him for? What does verse 2 say? It says, and the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said,
It is not reason that we should leave the Word of God and do what? Serve tables. And who did they choose? They chose one of the men they chose. They chose others, but we're taking Stephen. They chose a man faithful and full of the Holy Ghost to serve tables. Well, verse 3 says, "Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you, seven men of honest report that are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." So, they sought seven men, of which Stephen was one, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, for the lowly job of serving tables. God must have thought that that was a pretty good service to record all this in here about it. And it says that they were faithful, men that were faithful to serve tables. Now, there's no glamour in serving tables. And you who serve tables here this week, the Lord will bless you for it. Because it is a blessing, the Scripture says, that is a blessing to be a servant and to serve tables. You got to clean up the mess. You got to mop up where they spilt. You got to wash the dishes. Do all of that. That's serving. That's being a servant and serving tables. And the lowliest job you might think of to the Lord may be the highest. Because it's the attitude of your heart and your spirit as you do that which He puts your hand to do. Stephen's reward? Let's look over and what did the serving tables produce for Stephen? Verse 8 says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." But it says this, he did this as well as his basic first call was that of serving tables. But the Lord endowed him with power, and there were miracles done by him among the people. And then what happened? "Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertarians, and the Cyrenes, and the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom of the Spirit which he spake." And what happened? In the end, they jumped upon him, they gouged him, they beat him, they did all of this because he was faithful, serving tables and testified. But he was a faithful servant. And the Lord knows those who have a servant's heart, that their desire is to serve others and to see others blessed and to see others receive the word of the Lord, to see others receive that which is needed in their life. And may the Lord help every one of us to desire to have a servant's heart so that we desire to see our brother and our sister blessed and helped in that which the Lord does through us as we do our portion to be a servant, a willing servant to serve the Lord. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to pick out some servants and see what the Lord says about them. Verse 11 of Hebrews 11, or verse 8. Verse 8 of Hebrews 11 says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place that he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went." And it says, "By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise." And what was he looking for? He was looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. But Genesis 12, what does Genesis chapter 12 tell us about Abraham? Genesis 12 and verse 4 says, So Abram departed He was called out. He departed from the land of his birth, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed. Now, I wonder how many of us here, when we reach 75, we want to pack up and dispose of everything we have and start out someplace. Now, most of us, in fact, all of us, would know where we were going. Now, Tom and Mary did that here a couple of years ago, but they knew where they were going. But they packed up everything and moved and went to another place, Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds. But they knew where they were going. But Abraham is 75 years old, and he packs up and doesn't have any idea where he's going. He just says, the Lord said you go to a place where he would show him. Now, that took some being faithful to do that. Because he didn't have a car to travel with. He didn't even, as far as I know, all they had was camels. They didn't even have wagons such as we have, and at least if they did, they didn't have springs on them, even like we've got today, a wagon with a spring on it. They went out to travel and ended up traveling somewhere around 1,000 miles. How would you like to take off and do that after you reach 75 years of age with some camels and a tent and travel? He was faithful. Well, they'd say today that if we start out like that, you're crazy. You're foolishness. Ridiculous. Well, let's let's go back to chapter 11 of Hebrews. And see some more here that were faithful, that the Lord records in this book of the faithful in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Verse 22 says, by faith, Joseph. Now, if you or I had have been Joseph, and our brothers took us, and first they were going to kill us, and then they threw us in the pit, and then they ended up selling us, I wonder how many of us would say, Lord, you did that, or we would be faithful to the Lord, and we wouldn't be complaining. You can't find any place where Joseph ever complained. In fact, he was known for a man who served the Lord in Potter's house, in the jail. He was known because of his dedication. And when he was called before Pilate, he didn't say, I'll tell you what. He said, I'll inquire of the Lord. And the Lord will show me. And then when he was elevated to the position that he had, and his brothers came back, and he knew who his brothers were. Did he take revenge on his brothers? No way did he take revenge on his brothers. He could have said, I'll get even with you. But he didn't. He was a faithful servant of the Lord, Joseph was. No revenge in his heart. I wonder if we went through all of that, if there wouldn't be a little bit of revenge inside of us, that we'd want to be getting even with somebody. Because when his brothers come, he could have said, you're the fault of all the years I spent in prison. But he realized that it was the hand of the Lord. Just as this that Mary brought to us this morning, that the hand of the Lord worked in the heart and life of this young man so that he came to look to the Lord. And the Lord worked in Joseph's life so that Joseph was the savior of his family, a representative, an example of Jesus being the Savior of the world. Joseph was that Savior. But Joseph first was a servant. He was the servant of Potiphar. And then he was the servant of the keeper of the prison. He was the servant of him. And then, but the Lord, in the end, raised Joseph up and exalted him to a place of position. Now, the Bible doesn't promise what position that we will be exalted to, but there are promises to the servant. And before we get through this morning, we're going to see what some of that might be. 24th chapter, a verse of Hebrews 11 says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Now, this young man that Mary talked about this morning, he desired more to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And it got him in a lot of trouble. Well, Moses got in trouble because he didn't want to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses got in a different type of trouble. But Moses, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect for the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says here in the Scripture that he esteemed the reproach of Christ, who actually he had never heard of and really didn't know anything about, because there was no Scripture written yet until Moses wrote it about Eve and bruising the serpent, and there was a promise to the children of Israel and to the world, a promised Redeemer. Moses really, except by what was told down through from family to family, really had nothing concrete to back up the fact that Jesus, that a Redeemer, the Christ, was coming. But the Scripture says, it tells us here that he was aware that Christ was coming, and that he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So Moses was faithful. Moses was counted faithful, except for his one little problem. But even there, even in that, Moses' desire to be faithful was fulfilled, for he appeared with the Lord in the promised land on the Mount of Transfiguration, as we heard about in our teaching this week on the double portion. And Moses was part of that double portion. And as we're faithful, we can be part of the double portion as we're faithful before the Lord. Then also we heard this week about Elisha and how he desired the double portion and how he received the double portion when he was a servant to Elijah. He received the double portion because he was a faithful servant to Elijah. But there was another servant. Elisha also had a servant. Let's look over in 2 Kings chapter 5. And verse 20. It says, "But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God." So Elisha had a servant, and his name was Gehazi. And he was a servant to the man of God. And this man of God that he was a servant to had received a double portion from Elijah. And Gehazi has seen many miracles as he has ministered and been a servant to Elisha. He's seen the dead raised, and he's seen many other things because Elisha received a double portion, and there was twice as many miracles recorded in the Scriptures of Elisha as Elijah. So Gehazi saw the power of God. He was there to see the demonstration of it, and he had the opportunity to ask for a double portion of Elisha. But what happened to Gehazi? Verse 1 says, "Now Nahum, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Nahum was a leper. Now, we know what happened to Nahum. We all know the story. How that the little servant girl, a servant again, convinced him to come down to find the man of God in Judah, Elisha. And he came down to the king, and that wasn't who he wanted. And then they told him about Elisha. And when Elisha went out to meet him, he came and Elisha went to meet him. He told him to go dip seven times in the river Jordan, and he'd be healed. And we know how he got mad and said he didn't need to go dip in that muddy river, that there was a clean one at home he could have dipped in. Then somebody said, well, if somebody had told you to do something great, Naaman, you'd have went and tried to do it. Why don't you just try this? So he became obedient to the servant, to Elisha's command to him. He became obedient, and the Lord healed him. And then he came back to Elisha to thank Elisha and to pay Elisha. Now, but Elisha said, no, I don't want any of your pay. I don't want it. And Elisha is an example to the ministers of the Lord today. Elisha did what the Lord had him to do because that was his calling to the Lord, and that was the desire of his heart to be faithful to his calling. But we've got lots of ministers today who are not faithful to their calling. Their purpose is to get what they can get. We don't have faithful servants today who are faithful throughout the land. I pray that every servant that comes in this place to minister will be a faithful servant of the Lord, and that they'll not be taken by bribes or anything, or by that which somebody tries to slip into their pocket, as has happened in this place in the past, but that the Spirit of the Lord will rest on them, and they will be faithful servants of the Lord. And they will stand with integrity in the house of the Lord to testify that Jesus is Lord. Gehazi, he saw all of this that Naaman tried to give to Elisha, to pay him for being healed. So he slipped out and went after and followed Naaman. We see in verse 25 here, said, but he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant didn't go anywhere. Thy servant went nowhere, no whither. Now, he had followed after Naaman, and he had taken the bride. He'd gone and hid it. So the first thing he's done here, he lied to him. He deceived him. Now, he should have been around Elisha long enough to know that the Spirit of the Lord rested on this man, and there was no way that he could deceive him. But his greed overrode what he knew to be. Because if he'd have just thought even one time, he'd known that the Spirit of the Lord would have showed Elisha what he had done. But he said, I didn't go anyplace. And he said unto them, went not mine heart with thee? Elisha says to Gehazi, when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee, is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? Now, he hadn't received olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and servants, but that was the thought that was in his mind when he went and took this from Naaman. That was what he was going to buy him a vineyard, he was going to buy him an olive yard, and he's going to have sheep and oxen, and he was going to have servants. He was going to be some great man in the countryside. Yes, he was going to desert Elisha. Well, he'd have been better off if he had her before all this happened. But Elisha said unto him, and he says, thy greed has gotten thee. He says, the leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee, and not only unto him, but unto thy seed forever. So Naaman's family, as long as there was any posterity of Naaman's family, they were lepers. They carried the curse of leprosy, which did not allow them to ever come into the house of the Lord. They were excluded forever from the house of the Lord because of Gehazi's greed. Not only did he curse himself, here he was cursed. Not only did he curse himself, but he cursed his whole family by his greed. Yet he was a servant who could have also received a double portion of the anointing of the Lord if he had been faithful and had so desired it. But his desire was not unto the things of the Lord. His desire was unto his own wants and his own wishes, that he would do something that he wanted instead of doing what God wanted in his life. So we've got to watch our motives. We've got to watch those things that we do, that they are unto the Lord, that our motive is pure and holy unto the Lord, that it is for his glory and for his purpose. Or we, too, can be like Gehazi and have leprosy. We may not get leprosy as he got it, because that doesn't happen, but we'll get some other thing that will happen to us, and the blessing of the Lord will disappear from us when we could have had the double portion. I want the double portion. I want God's blessing. I want his anointing. I want his blessing in my life. And then as his blessing is in my life and in our family, then our life and our family will bless others. And we will be the blessing that the Lord can make out of us as we be a servant, serving him with a pure heart unto the Lord. Well, see what his greed, his deceit, and his lying got him. It got him a curse that followed his posterity as long as there were any. I don't imagine there were very many generations of Gehazi because of the leprosy. I imagine that before very long, the posterity of Gehazi disappeared from the earth. But let's look at some who are faithful. Over in Esther, let's look at Esther for a minute and see what happened with Esther. Verse 4, chapter 4. Verse 14, last portion, and her Mordecai, her uncle, is talking to her here when this great crisis has come in the kingdom, and she has become the queen over the kingdom, and Mordecai says to her, "Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And who knows that you and I have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And are we going to be faithful? Are we faithful in that where we've come in the time such as this? Are we faithful to the calling that the Lord has upon us? Are we a faithful servant for such a time as this? That the Lord will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Esther saved a nation. Who knows what we can save by being faithful to the calling of the Lord? Only eternity will tell. But let us desire to be faithful. As Esther, she said, "If I die, I die." Are we that faithful? If I die, I die? Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24. Well, I'm going to start with verse 14. It says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth." It says, "And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Now, we may not have gods as they had, but we have other things in our life that take the place of gods, which really are gods, that we need to put away from time to time. As they rise up and as the Lord shows them to us, I need to put them away and you need to put them away. That we will serve the Lord God only. And then we go on down and he says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve." Now Joshua is charging the children of Israel. He's charging them here to serve the Lord. And he says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then you choose today who you're going to serve." whether you choose the gods, which your fathers served and were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we, the household, we will serve the Lord. That is a declaration of a servant unto the Lord, to serve the Lord. That is a servant. And he made a declaration that they would be a house of servants to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will, I will, we will to be a servant to serve the Lord. And I trust that every one of us today will make that declaration that you will be a willing servant to serve the Lord, just as Esther did, just as Joshua has declared here. As he is charging the children of Israel, then he has made a charge on behalf of his own household, that his household will serve the Lord. And I trust that you all, in your hearts, desire to make that same declaration unto the Lord today. As we begin this year of 89, and as it unfolds before us, the things that we know not what will cross our path in the days ahead, and there will be many, many, many situations cross my path and yours and your households that you will have to stand and serve the Lord. Because the year that lies ahead will not be as the year that has gone past in 88. We can't see, we don't know, except what we hear and feel by the Spirit. And we have to hide His Word in our heart, that we sin not against Him, and that we be a faithful servant in every situation that will arise in the day that lies ahead of us. Let's go back to the 7th chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 7, verse 59 says, "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Stephen was calling on the Lord when they stoned him, and he said, "Receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to the charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I wonder if we were in the same place, or if we were with the martyrs in the Colosseum of Rome, or throughout Europe during the Dark Ages, when they strung them on the trees and burn them at the stake and tied them out for the animals to eat, if we would say, "Lord, lay not this charge to them." I wonder if we would have the ability and the faithfulness of a servant to say, "Lord, I'm serving you in what's happening to me. I'm serving you, Lord. Lay not this charge to them." I wonder. Have we made that dedication to the Lord today? Are we prepared in this year that's ahead of us that dedication shall be in my heart and in your heart, that would be your dedication in that situation? Now, that situation may never happen to any of us, and it may. But there will be other situations that will happen to us that we will have to confront and contend with that could have the same consequences as far as eternity is concerned. So may we have not only the spirit and the desire, but the love of the Lord within us. Lord, increase my ability to have your compassion and your love within me for my household and for those that are the household of faith. That as we stand to serve the Lord, that we do it with the compassion and the love of the Lord flowing through each one of us, that our household and the household of faith will be faithful as we serve the Lord in this year that lies ahead of us, tomorrow and each tomorrow of the year ahead. That you and that I shall each one be a faithful servant in all that He calls us to do in the year ahead. And that in doing as we're faithful, He will strengthen us and refresh us and renew us in the Lord. And as we're renewed in the Lord, then He strengthens us and refreshes us so that we're able to accomplish that which is an impossibility otherwise. It is an impossibility in my strength or your strength to accomplish what we accomplish for the Lord each day and each year. There's no way that Irma and I and those of us here at the campground have the ability, the knowledge, or the strength to accomplish what has been accomplished in the past year, except the presence of the Spirit of the Lord flow and move through us to bring that to pass. And the same with each one of you. And as the year ahead unfolds before us, that same thing will turn over and over in our lives as the situations arise. Only God can give us the strength, the grace, and the mercy, and the ability to accomplish tomorrow and tomorrow what lies ahead of us in 89. What is our reward? There is a reward. What is it? Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, verse 21, says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." So the Lord says that if we're faithful, and he calls us here a good and faithful servant, as we are faithful to fulfill that which he has calls us to do, what I have to be faithful in is not the same as you have to be faithful in. What you are required to be faithful in is not what Irma's required to be faithful in. What Irma's required to be faithful in is not what Kevin or Patty or Mac or some other person is required to be faithful in. We are required to be faithful in that which we labor at as a servant serving the Lord. And we can't look at somebody else and judge them as their faithfulness. All the judgment that we are to judge is how faithful I am in my faithfulness. And then, only then, can we expect the Lord to say, "Thou faithful servant, well done," to enter into our rest. As we are faithful in the service to the Lord that he has called me to, and then that he has called you to. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 22 again. Joshua 22. Joshua here is continuing to charge the people of Israel. And Joshua 22, verse 5 says, "But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." So Joshua charged the children of Israel that they were to be diligent in keeping the word of the Lord, and to walk after the ways of the Lord, and to cleave unto him, to hang on to the word of the Lord, to make it a thing that you cleave to with all of your heart and with all of your soul. So in order to do that, you need to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that is not ashamed, learning how to rightly divide the word of the Lord. And you can only do that as you study the word of the Lord and hide it in your heart and apply it, so that in the situations that you come up against, the word of the Lord will rise up within you and will be a strong tower to help you in that day. And you can stand forth and say, "It is written," and use the sword of the Lord, the word of the Lord, as the sword for your protection in the day of adversity. So, Joshua tells us that. Then, what, again, is some of the reward that the Lord will give us for being faithful? Well, we looked in Matthew, and there's many other places where the Lord said, but let's see what the Lord says over in the 21st chapter of the book of Revelations. Revelations chapter 21. Revelations 21 and verse 7. It says, He that overcometh, he that is faithful, he that hides the word of the Lord in his heart and keeps the word of the Lord, that is an overcomer. That will be an overcomer. he that overcometh, says, what shall he do? He shall inherit all things. All things. Now, there's no way that I can begin to expound unto you what that means. I cannot begin to comprehend in any way what all things means. But I want to be an overcomer so that I will inherit when the Lord says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into thy rest. I'll make you ruler over whatever. And I inherit that which the Lord has for me. But whatever it is, I will rejoice in my inheritance. He says, and I will be your God. And me, he shall be my son. Now, what an inheritance that is that the Lord has for us as we strive to serve him with everything that's within us, to be a willing, serving servant in the household of faith, serving the Lord willingly, desiring to serve him for his presence in our life, that we shall be called a good and a faithful servant. Over in, turn the page over, Revelation chapter 22. And it says again, the Lord says, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work. So if we're a servant, and we're working for the Lord, and we have fulfilled all that he's called us to, then we have accomplished all the work of the Lord. But it is important that we follow after the Lord to accomplish the work of the Lord that he has given us to do. It says he will fulfill his work. Now, we came into salvation by grace. We have healing by grace. We have the Holy Spirit by grace. But our rewards are as we're faithful, a faithful servant, serving the Lord, fulfilling everything that we can possibly do with joy and refreshing in our spirits, with joy, and counting all joy as we serve him. Even though it may be hard on our soul or our spirit or our flesh, it may be hard on us, we count it joy, as Paul did. He counted all things a joy that he might obtain unto the prize of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. And I want to be in Christ Jesus. I want that. And if we're in Christ Jesus, our desire will be only unto him. Then he goes on to say, he said that every man according to his work shall be. And he says, I am the first and the last, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Then he says, blessed are they, are you, are I, that do, that keep, that obey his commandments, his word. So, in 1989, what kind of a servant are we going to be? As the year unfolds ahead of us day by day, what kind of a servant am I going to be? What kind of a servant are you going to be? Are you going to be a faithful servant, desiring the double portion? Or are you going to be a leper? I want to be found faithful. I want to be a faithful servant. When this year ends, I want to look back over it, and I want to hear the Lord say, well done. I want that to be, I want that, that is the desire of my heart. I want it to be the desire of the heart of every person, that they shall labor in the vineyard for the Lord. In whatever capacity the Lord gives you, you shall do it with joy unto him. Faithful, washing the dishes. Faithful, scrubbing the floor. Faithful, wherever the Lord leads or sends you. Faithful, doing that which the Lord calls you to in the year of 89. And if you're faithful, the Lord will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in to the rest of the Lord. And when you come to the end of the year, you'll be a faithful servant and not a leper. Lord, help us that we make that desire of our hearts. And we'll hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, instead of hearing it said that you're a leper. Father, this morning, I come and commit myself, my family, and this place unto thee, that we shall labor together to be faithful servants, that we shall hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," when this year is completed, as we look back over 1989. And Father, I ask that for every person in the sound of my voice, that the desire of their heart shall be to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and not to be a leper, because they have been unfaithful in the calling that the Lord has called them to in this year that lies ahead. No matter what the circumstances or what the conditions, Lord, that befalls our path as we walk before you in this year of 1989. But Father, we shall be an overcomer. For your word says that to him that overcometh, you will give to sit down with you. You will give a white stone. You will give us a new name. And Lord, help us to desire to be an overcomer, that we may enter in to the rest of the Lord. And you will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So, Father, I ask for the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. I ask for the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash us. I ask for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to move and flow over us. And help us, Lord, in this year of 1989 to be intercessors for the household of faith, to be intercessors for our families, to be intercessors in the calling that you've called us to. Father, that we may be a faithful in that calling as an intercessor before the household of faith. That, Lord, we will hear you say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And Father, I ask, Lord, that the anointing of the Holy Ghost shall flow and move over us as we walk in the pathway of righteousness for your name's sake in this year that lies ahead. Father, I thank you for your anointing and your blessing. Father, for you say that you dwell in amidst the praises of your people. So, Lord, help us to learn and to be praisers in this year of 89, so that the joy of the Lord shall be our portion as we praise and worship and magnify thee, Lord, every day of our lives in every situation. Father, may we truly praise and magnify thee, that it shall be from the innermost being of our hearts and our spirits, Lord, as we lift our voices in praise unto thee. And we said we lift our hands and we praise and magnify thee, for thou alone art worthy, for there is none other name given under heaven whereby men may be saved except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is written that he alone and he alone is worthy, and Jesus is his name. So, Father, I give my praise unto him, and I thank you, and I praise you for the blood that cleanses and washes me and washes these thy people, and for the stripes and the scars of the Lord Jesus that brings healing and restoration to our physical bodies. And then, Father, I thank you for the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus, your Son, that you've given unto us to heal the sick, to cast out devils, and to raise the dead. And Father, I thank you, and help us, Lord, to understand that authority, to be able to take it, and to declare, "It is written, thus saith the name of the Lord." Father, I thank you and I praise you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I pray your anointing over these thy people that have gathered this week and those that have already gone. I pray the blessing and the glory of the Lord and the desire of the Lord in their hearts, that their desire shall be unto thee. And I thank you for the angel of the Lord to go with them as they travel, the blood of the Lord Jesus to cover their vehicles or whatever way of transportation they travel. Father, that your blessing shall be theirs and your protection shall be theirs. And Abraham's blessings shall truly be ours in this year of 1989. I thank you, Father, that we are heirs of Abraham's blessings as we serve and follow after thee to make you Lord of lords and King of kings. I praise you today. I thank you today. I thank you, Lord, for these thy people. And I thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon them as we depart and as we separate ourselves one from another for this time until we shall meet again. And I praise you for it in Jesus' mighty, mighty, mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. And all the people said, "So be it." Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise your Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.